You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Dog Pound, give 10 hours. Help your community. You can be part of the Browns First and 10 movement by committing to 10 hours of volunteer service in your community on ClevelandBrowns.com. Tell us what you are doing to give back. It's easy. Use the hashtag Give10 on social media to unite us all and to inspire others. By sharing your Give10 story, you could win the opportunity to be the next Browns coin toss captain on game day. That would be pretty cool. Were you ever a captain?
Ironically, you know what's something that's a big misconception? I get probably, I'll say once a month, just to be very general and broad.
Okay.
Once a month, I get a Buckeye fan that's like, man, you know, you being a captain of that 2002 national championship game was such an amazing year. And I just go, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, because I just wanted to move along because I don't like people. And I just, you know, and I say thanks very much, but I was not a captain on that 2002 team. I've been like Green Bay has different captains every week.
Okay.
And so at one point I represented, you know, the special teams as a captain in Green Bay. But yeah, I was.
If you had to call a coin toss, are you always
tails never fails?
Always tails.
Tails never fails. Heads depends. Tails never fails.
It does fail sometimes.
It has to.
But it does. So don't say never. Never say never. All right, we're gonna go through this game. As we always do here at this time on Thursdays, before we hear from John DeFilippo, let's go through the offensive units of these teams, okay? And let's say who's got the advantage, what we think, where we think, et cetera. So let's start on the offense. We'll start with the quarterback, Joe Flacco, 13-1 in his career against the Cleveland Browns, Super Bowl champion.
It's got to be Joe Flacco.
It's got to be Joe Flacco, just on his pedigree.
But also,
playoff after
taking
playoff.
Into effect what Josh McCown has done in the last six quarters of football, I believe it's closer than it's been in a while, but you've got to give it to Joe Flacco.
I agree. It's got to be Joe Flacco. All right, let's go now to the running back position. You've got Justin Forsett,
okay,
who has been their main guy so far this season, and I think Justin Forsett has had a good year coming off of his best game, 150 yards rushing last week against the Steelers on the season, 274 yards rushing, 4.2 a carry, 12 catches for 41 yards. They also have Lorenzo Talifiero, who ran for 90 yards against the Browns, if you remember that last year, and Javorius Allen. And they've got Kyle Juszczyk, who has 8 catches, 42 yards. He actually victimized the Browns a year ago as well. So it's really Justin Forsett versus, for the Browns, Isaiah Crowell's got 191 yards rushing and a touchdown. Duke, 99 yards rushing. So between the two of them, the Browns are right at 290 yards rushing. Receiving, though, big advantage. Crow, 5 targets for Crow, 5 catches, 75 yards. Duke Johnson, 17 targets, 15 catches, 117. And, of course,
great efficiency.
That touchdown. I think Justin Forsett is the best running back
yes.
that will be on the field. I do like the depth that we have with those two guys, but I do think Justin Forsett is ultimately the best running back on the field.
I agree with that, but to kind of deter slightly is I believe Justin Forsett's the best running back, but I believe the combination of Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson will have a larger impact in the football game than Justin Forsett, meaning between their touches both on the ground and in the air are gonna supersede Justin Forsett's impact in the football game.
If you are correct, then the Browns have a very good shot of winning this game.
Yeah.
If you are not correct, I don't think the Browns have any shot at winning this game. Justin Forsett last year ran for about over 90 yards a game. Now, they also had Talifiero go for 90 yards in the first meeting and averaged 6.2 yards a carry against this Browns defense last year. If that happens again, the Browns are not going to get the job done. I'm going to say advantage at quarterback, Ravens, advantage at running back. I'm going to call it a push.
I like that.
Push, push, push.
Push, push, push.
Because I like Forsett. I'm not a total believer in him. And I think what Duke Johnson showed last week can be very, very useful against this Baltimore Ravens team, because it's a Ravens team that on the season has struggled with running backs who can catch the football a little bit. So I think there is a good opportunity for Duke Johnson to do it. Baltimore, 19 catches, 118 yards receiving running backs in 4 games. So they've done a good job, but they've given up 5 catches a game to the position. All right, let's go to the wide receivers. And believe it or not, this might be, given everything that's going on, this might be the first time that the Browns get it. I mean, you're looking at this Ravens team. Steve Smith is out. Their next leading receiver is Kamar Aiken, 11 catches, 165 yards, and a touchdown. Nobody else even has 80 yards on the season. It's Mike Campanaro, who's also injured. Marlon Brown, who scored on the Browns a couple times a couple years ago. And then Darren Waller, who's an intriguing prospect, represented by the great Andrew Sims, one of my good friends, out of Georgia Tech, but is really more of a converted tight end. He's got one catch for 17 yards on the year and actually came on that game-winning drive for the Ravens against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. But that group going against Travis Benjamin, who, by the way, has already set career highs in every receiving category.
Through four games.
16 catches, 328 yards, and four touchdowns.
Boy's about to get broke off.
Hartline's got 123. Hawks got 112. Taylor Gabriel, 10 for 67. Surprising that Taylor Gabriel, by the way, averaged 17.3 yards a catch last year, and he's averaging 6.7 a catch so far this season.
Again, I think it's a conceptual thing for Taylor Gabriel right now.
He's been used a lot. He's being used a lot on those bubble screens.
Yes.
The quick hitters behind the line of scrimmage. Dwayne Bowe, Marlon Moore round out the Browns receiving corps. I'd say today, and don't forget the Ravens have also added Chris Givens in via trade from St. Louis, who had a very good rookie season but has not done anything since then. But right now, the advantage clearly with the Browns.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that Steve Smith would have significantly swayed it towards the Ravens because of the number of targets that he gets and the player that he is in general. But I love the diversity and I love the growth that we have, you know, out of our receiving corps. Travis Benjamin is a number one wide receiver, and I think he's got great compliments in Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, and the roles that Brian Hartline is now playing for this football team.
Let's go to the tight ends right now. You got big play Gare, 16 catches, 235 yards, two touchdowns. Matt Wilhelm, if I were to ask you, who has been the leading tight end in terms of receiving yards in the National Football League over the last 2 weeks, you would say?
Gary Barnage?
He's second to Charles Clay. I couldn't quite set you up, and if I said second, you would have gotten it right. Gary Barnage, number two in the NFL tight end over the last 2 weeks in terms of receiving yards. This is a guy who is, again, much like Travis Benjamin, already set career highs. Already 180 yards receiving, tied for first with two touchdowns. 79 routes have been run by Gary Barnage over the last 2 weeks. That is most among all tight ends. Big play Gare, I think, gets the nod because we don't know if Crockett Gilmore is going to be able to play. And Gilmore had the nice game, 79 yards and two, or 80-something yards and two scores against Oakland. Other than that, hasn't done much. Max Williams, kid that I liked a lot out of the University of Minnesota, they have him there, seven catches, 84 yards on the season. But I think with the way big play Gare is going, it's probably in reality a push. Neither team really has that standout tight end, but right now you gotta love big play Gare.
Yeah, I give it to the Cleveland Browns right now. Again, the question marks around Crockett Gilmore and what Max Williams, seven receptions thus far this season, started a football game in place of Crockett Gilmore. So, Browns.
All right, and then finally we go to the offensive lines. They go from right to left. Rick Wagner, Marshall Yanda at the left, at the right guard, one of the best guards in the NFL. Jeremy Zuda at center, solid player. Kelechi Osemele at left guard, and Eugene Monroe at left tackle. This is a group right now in terms of pass blocking efficiency. It is ranking behind the Cleveland Browns. The Browns giving up a hurry. Their pass blocking efficiency, according to Pro Football Focus, 82.5% for the Ravens, down at 76.8%. But they've only allowed one sack on the season, believe it or not, from that offensive line. The Browns have allowed three on the year. That's where the way that Pro Football Focus does it, crediting the offensive line with the reason for the sack. It could be, you know, the Browns have given up, obviously, more sacks than that. The advantage has to be with the Browns, I believe. But this is a good Ravens offensive line.
Yeah, good Ravens offensive line. I think they're more of the road grading offensive line than we are.
Especially Yanda.
Especially Yanda. But I'm going to give a slight edge to the Cleveland Browns offensive line, coming off of both offensively and them personally a solid effort versus San Diego Chargers. And the first time I truly saw a surge from our offensive line in that zone scheme.
Speaking of surge, did you ever drink the drink Surge? Did you ever have one
yes.
of those? The green soda?
Yes.
When I was at Emory, Emory like has all the Coca-Cola money is what's put into Emory.
Mm-hmm.
They like demo all their stuff on the Emory kids. So Surge was first at Emory to like see if people liked it. I liked it. It was
Did
green
you?
And it was good. So, I haven't had a soda though in probably other
right.
than a Diet
it's like
Crush
Mountain
with my
Dew
vodka.
On like
steroids.
On steroids, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so when we look at it on the offensive side of the ball, advantage to the Ravens at quarterback. We're going to call it. They've got the best running back in the game, but we believe it is a push at running back. Advantage to the Browns at wide receiver. Advantage to the Browns at tight end. Could be a push. If you really wanted to push me on it, I'd be fine with that. And then finally, advantage to the Browns on the offensive line, although I think it's a slight advantage. They are getting Justin Forsett 2.2 yards down the field before he takes contact. The Browns are not doing that for their running backs yet.
They will.
I hope that they will, absolutely. But when you break it down, this is one where you actually feel pretty good about the matchup, offense versus offense for the Browns and the Ravens. Again, this is going to come down to defense, which defense can show up and make more plays. And we'll break down the defenses later. When we come back, we will hear from the man piloting this offense, the one and only John DeFilippo. I love what he has been doing so far for this Browns team. He has been, I think, a real bright spot as a first-year offensive coordinator coming in and doing what he can. Dog Pound Todd just tweets me. He is drinking Surge right now with a picture of a Surge can in his cup holder. That's amazing. Don't drink Surge and drive, though, Todd. You might start racing. You might think you're in the Indy 500. All right, when we come back, John DeFilippo, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.